This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Let's make a deal. May work out on the Hill. Shocker. But it's still much more roads to climb or travel on when it comes to the infrastructure bill that's been proposed. But let's put it this way. It's the closest that it's been, thanks to a Senate vote to carry on that debate. So that is, I think, very, very good news when you think of roads, broadband, and bridges. Kate Delaney rolling out the red carpet for all of you, and I promise there is no potholes on this virtual road, at least virtually, right? But there are certainly potholes in the Northeast and other parts of the country, especially with some of the rain and weather we've experienced. And broadband in the world we live in, where so many work from home, has been frustrating in small rural areas. Bridges that are crumbling, and some other things that need to be repaired. The White House released some of the details of the bipartisan Senate infrastructure deal, which ended weeks of negotiations over the specifics of a plan aimed at, come on, modernizing some deteriorating elements of our world, transportation and public works systems, of course. Billions would go toward the physical infrastructure needs, those bridges and railways and roads that I mentioned, and what I think is also critical, broadband internet. This is pretty significant, and certainly it's a long-term investment in our infrastructure and let's face it, competitiveness. And what are they saying? A century, which is outrageous when you think about it. But it's about the deal and focusing on that. And that will transform, I think, certain areas, and it's desperately needed. And, of course, it would create jobs. And that's the good news there. So the Senate voted to advance the bill to formal debate, and that pushes it closer to that final vote. And the idea, I think, is to move quickly to get this in before the August recess. The other parts of the bill that were going to be put into this, including some of the projects that Joe Biden wanted, climate change, et cetera, that's not happening. But by narrowing it, many Republicans jumped on board, and that's something that they could get behind, and the votes were there for that, and I think that's good. $25 billion for airports. Think about that. The $11 billion for the transportation safety projects, the $1 billion towards reconnecting communities that have been divided by interstates, right, because of, again, some of the things that have happened in the last decade, or let's make that two decades or more. So there were some big obstacles, and part of it was, how do you pay for this, right? There was lots of debate about that because it was very vague. It's easy to say, wouldn't this be great, Toto, if we can paint this incredible picture for us? But it looks like it's going to be financed through redirecting unspent emergency relief funds and also strengthening tax enforcement when it comes to crypto. Some people aren't going to like that. But other bipartisan measures, for the most part, I think, which makes a huge difference. I'm sure there will be some of it that's not going to be palatable to some on the Hill, but it's much, much better than what was initially put out on the table for consumption, and nobody was taking it on the Republican side for sure. So there you go. That's the good news. Let's put it that way. It's about masking, and it's about the Delta variant, and it's about the significance of breakthrough infections, and that kind of is unclear. But let me ask you a question, America, and even beyond our borders, because I know we have people listening overseas. Do you know anybody who was vaccinated and who has gotten COVID? I know now 7 different people and counting who have gotten COVID. And I will say that of those people, from what they tell me, they weren't masked in certain situations, feeling really comfortable that, hey, I've got the vaccine, mask off, I'm allowed to do that. So they weren't wearing masks, and where they were could have played into it too. 2-3 of them were in very, very busy areas. One of them in Las Vegas at a convention, but in a Las Vegas that was teeming with people. Another in another place where there were a lot of tourists in San Diego. So it could make the difference as to who they were around. And of course, making the difference of now we know and have gone back and forth on this mask thing. But it is, really, really sad to see what's happening in some of these communities. In fact, I was watching a guy who I used to watch for some of his funny financial sayings, Jim Cramer, on CNBC, and he's predicting that the U.S. could see 100 million people stricken by the disease in 9 weeks. Boy, I hope he is way off the mark on that. I mean, way, way, way off the mark. We need to get to herd immunity. You know, we have to. Now, of course, when somebody gets COVID, it doesn't necessarily lead to death. Does it lead to hospitalization with what's happening with the Delta variant? You know, people are starting to get hammered by this, and that's the key thing. That's the key thing to that's the key thing to watch, I think. And now, over 25% of the new cases in Los Angeles, for example, they are fully vaccinated people. So again, this goes to the concern about, well, what does that mean? Schools are starting back up. So what does it mean for schools? A lot of the colleges are going with, you have to be vaccinated if you're going to be in person for any activities in the fall. And we don't care. So vaccinated or you're behind the screen again doing online work, because I think all of that will still be offered. And, you know, with these new rules, we're seeing that tempers are flaring all over the place with the new rules, especially the whole mask thing has sent people again into a crazy place of arguing over whether they should be masked or not. And part of that is because the reluctance, I believe, that to be told that it's okay, you've been vaccinated, and then to just not be able to accept that, oh my gosh, people are getting these cases. And so dealer's choice, you deal your destiny, as I say in my book. Are you masking up or not? And how do you feel about that? If you look at the numbers, 611,000 Americans have died from COVID-19, and this is from Johns Hopkins University, and just 57.6% of Americans 12 and up are fully vaccinated. Now it's all about the science of transmissibility of the Delta variant and changing the mask guidance, recommending to everyone in areas with substantial or high levels of transmission to wear a mask in public indoor settings, but not a full across-the-board mandate. What's on tap coming up on the flip side?
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th anniversary contest for better health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th anniversary contest for better health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet. Stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
So what's on tap, folks? Well, a lot's on tap, and sadly, ZZ Top loses one of its main members. It's funny, that rock band is a band that I saw in Las Cruces, New Mexico, so long ago with a bunch of pals from KTSM Channel 9 when I was a young reporter out of college. And in 2004, ZZ Top was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So it's sad to say that to tell you the death of famed Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee Dusty Hill, dead at the age, the bassist, at the age of 72. And boy, I listened to so much of their music, and that was a great concert. And I think going to that concert, a buddy had tickets. They invited me. I was new to that station, and going and hearing them play just hooked me into their music. So he was, of course, the secondary lead vocalist, and you know, he's that part of that Southern blues rock trio. And there were a lot of comments on the band's official Facebook page by his bandmates of 52 years. Can you imagine? Billy Gibbons and Frank Beard. And again, they said that they were saddened by the news about Dusty Hill passing away in his sleep at his home in Houston, and saying that we, along with legions of ZZ Top fans around the world, will miss your steadfast presence, your good nature, and enduring commitment to providing that monumental bottom to the top. We will forever be connected to that blues shuffle in C. You will be missed greatly, amigo. So, you know, he, no cause of death was given. It came 5 days after he was forced to pull out of a concert in New Lenox, Illinois, because of an injury to the longtime guitar tech, or the longtime guitar tech, Elwood Francis filled in, because of his injury. And they've just released a statement that, that he was going back to Texas with a, to address some kind of a hip issue. But wow. Very, very sad. So you can bet that what's on tap there will be all kinds of memorials, and certainly more is pouring out through social media about his influence, etc. Ron Popeil, the man responsible for crazy infomercials. You remember any of his infomercials, some of the products that he hawked? I mean, this was a guy, you want to talk about an entrepreneur. This was a guy who, you know, just there were so much parodies about him because he was so funny and was so well known. But he hawked everything, it seems, right? The pasta maker. I remember the pasta maker as a kid. And that he was a TV commercial pitchman since the 50s. He had the Chapo, the Ronco company's Chapo-matic, and he toured state fairs, etc. And so, same thing for Ron. Lots of people have a lot to say about him and some of what he hawked, and the fact that, you know, he became a household name and earned QVC over $1 billion in sales. And, you know, his electric food dehydrators and hair in a can spray and all kinds of stuff. And so he has died at the age, the pocket fisherman. My cousin had the pocket fisherman. I remember that. He has died at the age of 86. His family said he had a severe medical emergency, and he died Wednesday at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles, surrounded by his family. And he was the original gadget seller who really crushed it in a very, very big way. So like I said, future memorials for him too. That's what's on tap there. When we look politically speaking of what's coming down the pike, the Senate voting to take up the infrastructure deal, that's huge. So there's more to come on that. That's incredibly significant. And more conversation about boosting Capitol Police and Hill staffers' pay, because that's something that has now popped on the docket. And there was actually a bill that was passed to increase money for the Capitol Police after what happened on January 6th, and also staffers' pay. But really, it was part of something they were looking at doing for a while. It passed pretty much on party lines, 215 to 207. But it's only the first of the 12 annual appropriation bills for the 2022 fiscal year to pass the chamber. And this is the stuff that they'll go through that often, well, sometimes it's talked about, depends on what it is. And specifics of this one, $604 million will go toward the Capitol Police. That's an increase of $88 million from the level enacted this year. And it would allow the Capitol Police to hire over 2,000 sworn officers and 450 civilian members of the force. The other thing that it would do, it would also, there would also be a provision that would direct the architect of the Capitol to procure a plaque that commends the examples of bravery and service above self shown by police officers and law enforcement agencies that defended the Capitol on January 6th. No word on tap at this point as to where that will permanently be displayed, the location somewhere on the Capitol's west front at this point. And something else that happened this week, the former president, Donald Trump, on Wednesday, brushed off kind of the defeat of his preferred candidate in a House special election in Texas the day before, saying in the end the choice was between two very good people. Susan Wright, who the former president endorsed and campaigned for, was defeated by fellow Republican Jake Elzey in the race to replace Wright's late husband. That would be Ron Wright, who was a Republican rep. And in and along with that, the former president has appeared in many different areas lately, including in Phoenix, Arizona. And in Phoenix, this was over the weekend, he was received pretty well at his rally, and the people in the audience said that they were listening to hear what the ideas were, and to see what the other speakers had to say. He spoke at the Turning Point Action event, and there were some polls that were held afterwards, and this to me is the significant part as to whether or not, if he ran, where would you vote? And of course, the numbers were still sky high for that. And as he has hinted that 2024, he's hinting he will run again. So there were even people that were in the crowd that had Trump 2024 gear, like a hat or a shirt or something else, I think self-made. So where this momentum goes as we swing into the fall and then into another year, 2022, because, when you run for president, even if you're a former president or elected official, the way we elect people in this country, it's crazy, the election cycle, how long it is and how much money is spent. So that's always something, I think, to keep an eye on, I guess, if you will. And what's on tap coming up in the Olympics, I was looking this up, the BMX races, a lot is being made about some of the new sports in the Olympics. And one of the things that we've seen is a lot centering around just bikes in general. And BMX racing is pretty interesting, I think. I was watching a little bit of the mountain bike races, and I thought, I don't know how they shoot up some of that terrain that they do. But with the BMX, same thing for the men and women. That's coming up at the tail end of the week. The women's individuals, the men's individuals, and, of course, the finals. We'll see if the U.S. walks away with some gold. We have some good candidates in that department. That's on tap.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Texas's governor is sending the National Guard to the state's border with Mexico to help local law enforcement arrest migrants illegally crossing into the state. Governor Greg Abbott requested the extra manpower, saying that law enforcement needs more assistance in dealing with the influx of migrants that continue to overwhelm border authorities. As part of their efforts to stem the flow into the state, Texas law enforcement officials began arresting illegal migrants on trespassing charges last week. And the Senate has voted to advance a bipartisan infrastructure package, opening debate on the bill which allocates $550 billion into transportation projects, broadband expansion, and utilities. Wednesday's 67-32 vote comes following days of negotiations among a bipartisan group of senators, eventually trimming the bill down from the $579 billion worth of spending in the framework agreed upon with the White House. This is USA Radio News. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has moved to stop the transportation of illegal migrants in his state. His executive order bans the ground transportation of those released into the country to await court dates or processing, and only allows for them to be moved by law enforcement officials. Senator Ted Cruz says that President Biden has allowed the crisis at the southern border to become a super spreader event. The Texas Republican tells Fox News that the White House's policies have allowed the virus to spread in border states.
The Biden administration has released over 50,000 illegal aliens without even giving them a court date. Just release them, and you know what? They're asked to report into ICE. About 13% of them report into ICE. It's spreading COVID in our communities, and I'll tell you right now, the election of Joe Biden becoming president of this country was a COVID super spreader event because they're releasing illegal aliens in South Texas and all across the country with COVID, and they're spreading COVID, and yet their radical policies, they don't want to do anything to protect us.
This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
So much I didn't know about the Alamo, and I wish at the time that I had this book. Lewis Cook is with us, and his book is Joe's Alamo Unsung. So you think about, like I said, what didn't we know and what don't we know about the Alamo, and he has put it together in this brilliant book. Lewis, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. Thanks for having me. I'm delighted to learn that you got married at the Alamo. That's amazing as well.
I like the history. You know, there was something about the history of it. There was something about what I felt when I was there. And there's so many things, like I said, that we don't know that you researched and you put into this book. So let's talk about that. You know, the one thing that everybody listening to us, I bet, has heard, remember the Alamo. And that slogan is such an important slogan, but the problem is there's people, because that's about courage, there's people that weren't recognized at the Alamo, right?
Oh, and that's the part that bowls me over. For example, that statement, remember the Alamo, was probably first said by a woman, Susan Dickinson, and she was saying it and said it first because she wanted everybody to remember that her husband, a very devoted guy named Captain Almorn Dickinson, who was in charge of the artillery, had got killed at the Alamo. And her only daughter, their only daughter, Angela, was also a toddler And she was fit to be tied to have them remember her husband and their sacrifice. So that was the first thing that kind of stood out for me at the Alamo. But another one that comes to mind is a statement that is written in our history book. It says, it is sometimes said that life at the early days of Texas was an adventure for men and dogs, but hell on women and horses. Nowhere mentioned there are blacks or minorities, and therefore that says we're probably a step or so below horses and dogs. And I'm saying it facetiously, of course.
Right.
But historically, it has too much truth to it. So that's how this story, that's how this book got written. It actually started with me having to teach Texas history to 8th graders or 7th graders, I forgot the year, and I had no Texas history. That's not a way to start off in Texas. The kids knew more than I did, and I was incensed that I would not let them continue to embarrass me in front of the classroom, so I had to go and learn some Texas history while I was teaching it to them. And, of course, that was quite a challenge, but that's how this thing got started.
Yeah, and you learned that there was, you know, first of all, there's overwhelming odds, we know that, but you learned that there were volunteers that fought. You learned that there were all races and religions that got together and fought, and that's not really talked about.
And it's amazing because the only survivors, the only English survivors of the Alamo are Susan Dickinson, we just mentioned her, her daughter Angelina, and Joe. Joe was William Travis's slave. And he said, the only male survivor said that every race and every religion was there. Every race. Every religion. So how and why would we ignore so many other persons who contributed to such a vital thing in our nation's history and, of course, Texas history? There was an oversight that when I learned about it, it was like, that's too much.
Yeah.
We got to do something about that. But the challenge came from one of my students who actually asked me. His father, I learned later, was a history professor at the University of Houston. And he was sending these kind of questions to his son, and they were keeping me up at night. But that was the kind of thing. Joe and John. Joe is a survivor. John is listed among the dead at the Alamo. So we know minorities were there. But regrettably, John was listed as a black boy. And, of course, that's kind of insulting. But it, again, shows the level of respect that we, as women, as minorities, had at the time. For me, the thing I like about it, the book, Joe's Alamo, is not only to remind you of the original line in the sand, but it recalls how women, blacks, whites, yes, I said whites, Chinese Americans, Native Americans, Muslim Americans, Buddhist Americans, all defended the Alamo, all gave their lives. And that's a story I think far worth reading.
Yeah, and you've written this. This is a novel that includes all races and religions that we're just talking about. And what happens with Joe? Joe, who is wounded but lives on, and he speaks Spanish, and he can translate some of the crazy things that he saw, the words of the Army general, as you describe it, who attacked the Alamo. And what was that general like? He was bloodthirsty, wasn't he?
He was a wild man, an absolute maniac. And he wasn't described as killing people for fun, but he was described as killing people for no reason. And for some reason, that seemed to have excited him. When I started reading and trying to get a grip on this story, I started off with just the books that I was reading, the textbooks, and then I read the books in the library at the school that I was teaching, Sharpstown High in Houston, HISD. Then that led me to the University of Houston and to Texas libraries around the state. And I finally read some of the translations of General Santa Anta, who was the general in charge of Antonio Lopez de Santana, in charge of attacking the Alamo for those 14 days. And he was a very brutal guy. He would cut off your head and stick it on a spear and leave it on a trail leading to wherever he was attacking.
Wow. Wow, just even visualizing that. When people read this book, which you can get on Amazon, Joe's Alamo Unsung, Lewis E. Cook, what do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Boy, it's two great things I want them to take away from this book, because these people, these defenders of the Alamo who were fighting for independence, were doing just the opposite of what Santa Ana was doing. They were fighting progressively greater and longer odds, whereas Santa Ana was getting more and more reinforcement. And that there are so many contributions from persons all over the country, people from England, Scotland, France, Germany, Denmark, Spain, countries all around Europe. And it's not a stretch at all to imagine that India and China, which are the other minorities that I included, and I had to do so, Kate, but simply because the material, the actual factual historical material, is just too narrow. It didn't even give very much attention to Joe and Susan Dickinson, the survivors.
Wow.
So it only did a speck to the remainder. But I think we did a decent job of allowing people to recognize that if persons came from all of these regions, then it's likely the regions next door could have easily been included. The thing that knocked me off my socks was to learn that the song, we sing it all the time here in Texas, the Yellow Rose of Texas,
yeah,
originally was about a black woman named Emily. Emily, a black lady, is the Yellow Rose of Texas. And the lyrics kind of point that out. So my challenge early on was to say, we start off with a toddler, less than 2 years old, Susan Dickinson, and Joe. How can I show these persons to be the heroes that they were? And I'm really proud of the way I actually ended up showing that toddler, Angelina, the little two-year-old or less, as a hero. And I think it fits well with the description of what she could have done. So I like that.
So you've been to the Alamo, I imagine. What is that visit like for you now?
From my first visit to now, when I get there, the Alamo is like, well, I have to say it's like a tomb, and I regard it as such. And I see the Alamo as a place of sacrifice, sacred, and respect. When I first got there, early on, I saw the Alamo as a brave spot where, you know, should be somebody's swinging swords and fighting cannons and all, but now it is a grave site to me. And it's a grave site for original reasons. The persons who died at the Alamo, all of them, Jim Bowie, David Crockett, James Travis, they were burned. Their bodies were burned in that same ground. So for that reason, yeah, that's your final resting place. But I appreciate it as a place where all of Texas, minorities and otherwise, came together and made a sacrifice and made a tremendous statement for history. Only place in the world, remember the Alamo, where less than 300 people fought for 15 days, almost 15 days, against 5,000 defenders.
Yeah, it's crazy, crazy to think of it. Great book, Joe's Alamo Unsung. Lewis Cook, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kate.
Everybody must agree with your form of self-expression. By the way, don't cater to the taste, so they'll say, see you later to your face and chase a new obsession.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Joining me now this time around in Author's Corner is Eric Wolf. He is in our virtual green room, and we had an interesting off-air conversation about this book he's written and the direction that he's headed in. And I think this is a test you want to take, the political personality test, the evolution of political thought. Eric, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about your history. What was it that led you to start to question things, to be sort of in the thick of it, as I like to say?
Well, I was in high school, and I was talking to a teacher, and the teacher told me that the political spectrum wasn't a very good way to calibrate where everybody's ideology was. And he then explained to me that there was no real good depiction of it. And I, being the brash 16-year-old that I was, decided to take this on and spent the next 16 years doing research, talking with professors when I went through college, and developing a spectrum that I then went back to that teacher and showed him. And he said, that's exactly what I've been looking for all these years.
Wow, so 16 years of research, and you were digging. And, you know, you see, and you and I talked about this, you have the left, you have the right, and you have this amazing deep divide, right?
Yes, it was 6 years. Sorry, I just want to make sure that.
Six.
Yes, sorry. The left and the right really only works in terms of the two-party divide. It doesn't really work in terms of all the ideologies that people bring to the table for the reason why they come up with this. So there's so much more out there than just the two choices, and there are so many different ideological positions, and they can all have a lot in common and a lot of differentials between them, and they really only get pulled apart when there's only two choices and you have to pick whichever party you agree with, and you may agree with them 51% of the time or 99% of the time if you're lucky. But we have a lot more in common with each other, but then we start to feel this massive divide that we're experiencing in our country because there's only two choices and they pit us against each other.
Yeah, and so that was the impetus of you doing this, like you said, at 16, 6 years, and coming up with the fact that, yeah, you don't have to, it's not a Coke and Pepsi world. There are other choices. So you try to come up with, and you did, a non-biased test. But how difficult was it to come up with that test?
Well, the test wasn't actually that difficult. I come from a very political family. We have a very open discussion atmosphere. People bring their different ideals. And I would see multiple members of my family who had all the same party affiliation, and they had totally different arguments, totally different reasoning. So when people start getting into the us and them debate and talking about, oh, this side is stupid or this side is evil, and some of the much darker arguments that people have with personal attacks against one party or the other, I don't see that because I see it in my own family, and it's kind of hard to be against somebody that you know personally. So I just approached it from that angle of I wanted to make it a test with results that wouldn't push you into any ideology, but also wouldn't be judgmental for your ideology. So there's no extremes like fascism or communism, because that's not applicable to the majority of people.
Yeah, you came up with something called the matrix. Explain the political matrix.
Well, I divided political ideology into multiple spectrums and combine them to form essentially a chart that can give you certain aspects of what you believe into a personality type. So there's your government makeup, your social issues, and then foreign policy as well. And it's really just boiling down what they're talking about in the political spectrum to their very finer points and giving it a much more diverse realm of choices.
Yeah, you know what I like that you said in going down that direction is you said government isn't about ideals or positions, but it does play a part. You say the majority of political ideology is about people whom you agree with, people whom you connect with, and you say, but it's completely void of explanation. And you say that was the final straw, and that's how you decided to build this whole thing out and look at what you call a political matrix and think about a country and think about the founding fathers. And what did you find with the founding fathers? What did you find out there, and then with, of course, some of the more current presidents?
The founding fathers provide a very good basis for the beginning of our political ideology, because their debates were much more simplistic. It was about centralized power versus state power, and we didn't really get into, because capitalism and socialism had really been formalized as an ideology around that time, that really wasn't a debate. There wasn't much of a economic debate, or a lot of social issues were kind of put on the back burner. It kind of sets a starting point for these ideologies to then grow from, and as well in the European community with democratization, that it allows us to build a more complete political ideological picture
so
from the beginning.
And so in building that and looking at your matrixes and all the work that went into this and the idea of this test and then rolling out the test, what happens when somebody takes the test?
Well, when they take the test, they will be given a personality type result in the same way, in the similar design of any other personality test. What's different is this one is a political ideology. They'll be given a history of where their ideology kind of formulated. And they'll, at the very end of it, they'll be given two people from history that they can, that held the same, a similar ideology to theirs. So you're not connected to a party. This isn't to tell you who to vote for. It's to give you a kind of great peers from history who held similar beliefs to yourself.
I love that. So for you, who was yours?
I have not taken the test. I adopt an apolitical persona for the book in that I'm not on anybody's side. If you get whatever result you get, it's completely non-judgmental, and I am not against you. I'm just here to help.
I love that. I've taken the test, but I'm going to reveal it on the air. So you, and your questions are like, should voting require a test? And you have great, you know, choices. Yes, everyone should take a test to vote or run for office. Your grade should determine what you can vote for. Yes, you should have up-to-date knowledge, B, on who you're voting for. And then it goes on further down. And you really cover the gamut. You talk about search and seizure. You talk about how should the federal government be structured. You talk about all kinds of things in this test. What was the most revealing thing to you in doing all this research and coming up with this?
That all of my family who are Republicans and all my family and friends who are Democrats, family and friends who are Republicans as well, did not get the same result. They all approached it from, so it confirmed my theory that the real thing that's only holding us together is that these two parties have just enough, they've covered enough of their bases that they can get all of these different personality types to agree with them just on the basis of, well, I agree with this one 51% of the time compared to the 49% I disagree with them, so I have to vote for them. So if we had more choices, we might be able to move forward and actually get somewhere and get a better picture of what everybody wants. It's just we have this system. The system is what's breaking us apart and stagnating our country. It's got nothing to do with the people. The people aren't as divided. It's the system itself.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. It's brilliant. Eric Wolf, the political personality test, the evolution of political thought. It didn't take him 16 years because he's so smart to put together. It took six.
No.
But take that test seriously. Take this test and you will maybe be surprised by the results, but I think you'll learn a lot for sure. Eric, thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and this version of the show, Make It Count. Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.